Yeah, and now now the radio can hear us.
Hi, kids.
And let me even try like a theme.
Oh, hey.
You don't know the power of sci-fi radio.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Where we should go, found it on my radio, where we'll nerd out for a while, as the twin sun starts to smile, beaming up towards the sound, what goes up might not come down, then you'll find you're not alone, even on your private throne.
Yeah, my gosh, it's been a heck of a week.
Yeah.
And trying to get, get all of these balances going on here.
Were you visual?
We are not visual yet. No. I just gotta come hit the button.
I can't.
Now we're visual.
Hey, there we go.
Uh-oh, now they can see me eating.
Yeah, now they can see you eating. It's, yeah, you know, one of those days. My computer's not cooperating. It decided to like shut down everything I had started except for the video stuff. It left that alone, but it shut down all of my Explorer windows and
okay.
My browser, all that kind of thing. It's kind of crazy. Hey, everybody! It's Doggy Bay 94.
I can see now.
It's Thursday.
Woo!
Yay, Thursday. I am Sean Obi, Sean Crosby.
This is Jeff Solidano.
I'm Colleen Kaylee Crosby.
And, yay, we survived another week.
Alright.
last week was our, sort of anniversary. We're starting in on our 10th year of doing the show. Because,
oh,
you know, we're crazy. And, and yeah, so everything's kind of wacky. But, yeah. I hope you guys had a good week. We're wiped out. Poor Colleen, man. I gotta out Colleen because she's been going crazy for work, and it's just like the whole week has been nonstop.
I'm good. I'm calm. What do you mean? I'm fine. It's nothing.
She's perfectly good. Everything's great. We're all fine here now. Thank you.
Almost cussed somebody out on a phone call today.
Like halfway through the show, you'll just see her running back and forth in her little window with her hair on
fire.
That's
how it's fun.
Right. I'm actually sending notes to work as we're talking.
As we speak. So you could be watching us on Facebook, which is my personal feed. You could be seeing us over on Twitch. Under DB94, yes. Which is always kind of fun. And you might even be seeing us on YouTube if you want to, or you could be watching the replay, which will be exciting because, you know, it
yes.
took so long to get started. And if you're listening to us, over on sci-fi.radio, which is, in fact, the mothership audio experience for this show.
Wow.
So there you go.
And I'm eating jelly beans.
Jelly beans?
Yeah.
I didn't get jelly beans.
So, let's see here. Hi, Don, Michael, Pat, All Car right. 9, Sky Dance.
Jeff is holding us back.
And,
we're going to fight each other over the jelly beans.
Eric and Walt Kernan. I said that already. Oh, yeah. If only there were jelly beans here. I don't have any.
I should probably open the chat thing so I know what's going on, which I had opened before the show.
Yeah.
Now,
Sean, do you want jelly beans? I feel bad now.
No, I'm fine.
Jeff can't have any jelly beans. He's been bad.
I can get some later. Well, he hasn't been bad. He's just not here.
Right.
That's the drawback. If we have a cool dessert or something, he doesn't
get it. If I had a
Wonka Vision
thingy, I would send everyone listening jelly beans.
Jelly beans for
And then
everyone.
They would be out of our house and I would stop eating them.
Yeah, embarrassingly, we started out with quite a large jug of jelly beans.
Not that long ago.
And we're at like one quarter
yeah, it's
left.
Bad.
Oh, okay.
Please don't ever give us jelly beans.
Right, right. Whew. It was some. It was a thoughtful thing, but yes. You know, it's.
What am I looking for?
So
that's not so cool.
I'm finally over my stupid itchy throat cough.
Yay!
So that took 3 weeks or something. I don't know until the doctor finally woke up and said, "Hey, I'm giving you antibiotics and this."
Did you ever actually see a doctor?
I saw them, the telehealth. They would not allow me to come in because I had a cough.
Right.
So they're like, "Oh, he has a cough. It could be anything, like COVID." And I'm like, right. "It's not COVID."
Telehealth.
Yeah.
That sounds so Jetsons, doesn't it?
It's just a, flipping Zoom call.
Did you say hi to Don, Michael, Pat, yes. Tracy, and Mary Jo as well?
I don't think Mary Jo was on yet.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Hello to all of you.
Hello.
And, Talon Thorne, we got him on there. Or her.
Hello.
I don't know. I haven't ever figured that out yet. Anyway.
Nice.
They gave me prednisone and zithromycin, and that was like at about four days worth of medicine, and boom, got rid of it.
Zithromycin. So, sounds like it's applied with a zither.
Yeah, it's also called Z-Pak, and you basically take two pills, and then on the first day, and then one pill the rest of the day. Is it sort of like you elephant dose it, and then take one each day afterward.
Wow!
And that seemed to work because before whatever I ever got was like, "Hey, we think it's an asthma. You should take this." Okay, that was years ago, and then the other person. We think it's an allergy. You should take this. And
dude.
That was years ago and again. And it didn't work. So this new gal wasn't really a doctor. She was more like the nurse practitioner or something. But she's like, "Oh, you know, we're going to try this instead." And then she prescribed the antibiotics and stuff. And lo and behold, it worked.
Well, that's my life with the hives. They're like, "Let's try this. Let's try that." I'm like, I did that. Like, here's the checklist of everything I've done. Let's not do those again. They didn't work.
Yeah.
Admittedly, doctors are annoying, but I do like the option to go to the doctors. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I've been to the doctor since lockdown last year. Like, I've been to the doctor in last year, but I didn't have a cough.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I gotcha.
We keep saying hi to everybody. I feel like we need like the magic mirror from, you know, Romper Room.
Romper,
like,
Bopper, Bopper Room.
I see Bobby and Susie and Timmy and, you know, whatever.
So, other than being sick, counts. Jeff, what did you do last week?
Golly, you know, it was so exciting.
Wait, I'm sorry, I have to say this.
I got two, too. Are you going to say the same thing I'm going to say?
One, two, three. Kidney stones. Sorry, it's a quote from Friends.
It's a Friends reference. Kidney stones.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it happened in Disneyland.
That's the worst.
Before. No, you can't have kidney stones. That's like having a bladder infection. It's worse than having a bladder infection at Disneyland.
I've had them like three times.
Man.
They suck. And
I have been fortunate.
It's the closest a male can get to labor pains. That's the closest a male can get to labor pains is passing a kidney stone.
Has
a woman said that to you?
I have no experience with either of those
told
things.
Each one that has seen me is like, "This is about as close as it's going to get."
Wow.
I'm like, "Oh, joy! Thanks! I'll name him Stony."
Yeah, so Jeff, what were you saying about what you did this weekend other than recovered from your illness?
So we have a... with our garden area in the backyard, that's, you know, for most part, that's all I ever do.
I'm glad you're explaining this because I think this completely confused me.
Yeah. So what we did was we have an area that's in our yard that's in between our vegetables and the citrus trees that was just sand. We had originally dug it out, and then all we did was put sand and lined it with bricks originally, but weeds continue to pop up because, you know, it's just sand. Because
that's what they do.
And
stupid.
So this past weekend, we went through and took all the sand out, which is about, let's see here, 20, was it 20 or, no, it was more than, it was probably like, I don't know how many, a couple hundred, like, 1,000 pounds of sand or something. I don't know, it was a lot of sand. We pushed out a lot of sand out of there, mm-hmm. and then we extended the size of the area to, like, just next to the trees, so it's really big, and dug it out again some more, and then sprayed for weeds, so to speak, after weeding it, and then threw down that paper, or not paper, but it's a plastic, really. It's like the weed shield plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then put sand back on. And, yeah, it's much larger, it's lined with bricks. And it was like, we went and got 20 pounds of sand, or 20 bags of sand, sorry, not 20 pounds, 20 bags of sand.
Okay.
Originally. They're about 50 pounds a piece, each bag.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that and like, loaded it up and like, didn't quite cover it. So we had to get another 20 bags this week and put them in.
So you made a proper beach by your pool.
Yeah, yeah. That's why my post earlier was like, beach is closed, because we were...
Yeah, and I couldn't figure out if
everyone's like, what?
I couldn't figure out if you went somewhere, you were doing it to the backyard. I thought I saw a picture of Serena buried in sand, which didn't seem like something you could really do
that was an old thing,
in your backyard.
Yeah, that was an old picture.
Okay.
Old photo.
But
yeah.
Yeah, the
and
whole
was,
thing was
we
super
I was kind of referencing, you know, Jaws as well, because, like, you know. But, because a friend of mine was posting stuff that was the mayor going, the beaches will be open, kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm like, the beaches are closed, that's what we had. We had a bunch of sand.
I couldn't follow it on Facebook. I had no idea what was going on. It was super, super confusing.
And so, yeah. And now there's more sand, and it's much bigger, and, you know, likely to have weeds.
I just gave up. Well, cool. That's pretty awesome. I mean, your backyard's been this whole work in progress for quite a while. So sweet.
And I believe we're going to actually plant... We have some jack-o'-lanterns that we're going to actually plant in the corner of the sandy field. So we're going to, you know, dig down enough through the little barrier, put the little guys in there so they can grow out on sand, and they'll be protected once they grow out on the sand, not be damaged, on other stuff. So.
Nice.
I'm good.
Yeah, exciting.
Why is my phone phoning? Visited with lots of friends this last week. I can't actually remember Saturday. I'm sure I did something on Saturday.
It's a blur.
I feel like I was supposed to do something on Saturday, but I don't remember what it was. But Sunday I had a friend who came over and visited with me and looked at my backyard. Yay. And we grabbed lunch and went to the flower store and bought flowers. And then I planted those in my backyard.
You went to the nursery to buy
flowers. Yeah, I went
flowers.
To the nursery.
Yeah.
That's a flower store.
Yeah, but you got live plants versus just buying cut flowers.
I didn't plant cut flowers in my backyard.
I'm making the distinction.
Thank you. And then Monday? Sorry, everything's a blur. Monday, I got a note from a friend saying that we should go out to dinner now that things are opening up a little bit. And so I said, well, gosh, this week, tonight is the only night I have available. And next week I could do maybe Monday again is the only night I have available. And then he said, well, some friends of ours have rented a house, mutual friends have rented a house in Venice Beach for their vacation for a week.
Mm.
Why don't we go meet there? We can all, the big group can walk to dinner somewhere and then we can visit. And everybody was vaccinated, so it was a good plan. And so Sean and I went over there and saw lots of friends, and it felt so... Well, first of all, during a pandemic, don't walk down the boardwalk in Venice Beach.
Seeing the friends was okay.
Yeah.
And being like in this beach house and whatever. And then when they decided to walk down the boardwalk, see what was there, and try to get dinner at some hole in the wall place on the boardwalk. And if you're not familiar with Venice Beach, it's super hippie, super artsy. There's lots of people hanging out in their bathing suits and skating and riding bikes and doing whatever. It's a very sort of festive area. And it's kind of
But it's also
crowdy.
Skanky.
Yeah, it's not a nice neighborhood.
I'm trying to describe how it is because there's a lot of
it's really run down.
Homeless population. Yeah. There's a lot of people with mental health issues
and the people you're as equally likely to run into somebody who is trying to scam you as you are to find someone trying to sell you like legitimate art from their booth on the side of the side of the thing. And so it's super touristy.
Painted last night on the banks of the Thames.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just like really bizarre.
So anyway,
to be down there after not having been there forever because it's like kind of divey.
Notwithstanding the why did we just walk down through like all these people, but visiting with friends, especially after we came back from dinner and we're just sitting around in the courtyard of the their beach house, it felt so much like being at an after party for a convention.
People were convention people.
Yes, they were all convention people. So we got to see Maria, and that was wonderful. I haven't seen Maria since she left for nursing school, I don't think.
Mm-mm. No, and in the interim, like she left for nursing school.
Graduated.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah, she graduated right into the first month of COVID.
In New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's like been in the trenches.
Yeah.
And now she came back here, and she's like, yeah, things are calmer here.
It was wonderful seeing Maria, and we saw Marielle, and we saw Binno, and
it was a very group of people. We saw Anita and
Victor.
And one of our friends who lives out in the desert that we haven't seen in a really long time. I used to work with her at Griffith Observatory. And I've
got
completely space on her name that starts with an S.
Selena.
Selena.
Yeah.
There we go. And
Chris.
Yeah. So it was a good group of people. Very fun. Very unexpected because I had gone to lunch that day with Kit and with Trevor. And we had collected so much stuff over here for them that we needed to do like this hostage exchange. And so I had stuff from Disneyland and Downtown Disney and some other things that they were collecting. And so we did like a hostage exchange in the parking lot. And then Colleen's like, we're doing a beach house thing. I'm like, okay. And so like I busted my way back home, which was pretty cool.
But it felt so, just so normal.
Yeah, it was nice. It was really, really,
and
it really
gave me a taste of the whole convention experience that I've been missing. Because that's, to me, those are some of the best parts of convention are the after parties when it's so late that it's not even the party anymore. It's
where a lot of times we volunteer at conventions, and so we will end up in like the con suite after hours someone's party after hours where people are winding down. The doors are closed to you know, average con goers. Sometimes you're helping them clean up, or you're doing whatever. Or sometimes you're you know, trying to. They're kicking you out so they can go to sleep.
Yeah.
But that's the nice part where you're just like sitting and socializing and being among friends.
Yeah.
And
that's like most of the cons, anyway. It's just whenever I go to cons at all, it's just really cool. Here's the dealer room and wander around and talk to people I haven't seen in a while. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, and you've been down when I've like DJed a dance or done things like that.
Yeah.
And so there's always the party floor where you go up and you bounce from room to room and you check out parties promoting something or other.
Yes.
And then the dances that we do end sometimes at like midnight, sometimes at 2. It really kind of depends. We used to go till 4, but everybody's kind of getting old. But once we're done, like, I'll run up and I'll go and I'll end up in a party that's closing down, and that's where we sit and we just talk to everybody for another hour and a half. Because that's when I get to do my socializing, because we've just been playing music.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was nice.
Hi, Tracy. Nice. Hi, Clayton. I'm going to add those two more people that popped in.
Sean, Andy says he heard about the company D time you spent together with Trevor and Kit. And we only touched down on that super lightly. I wasn't sure if you had more to say about.
Yeah, well, actually, that. So what was really funny, and I don't know if this is the part that Andy heard about, but yeah, Company D is the store where things from Disneyland go to be offered to employees and stuff before they
majorly
end up going
bigger than it used to be
to surplus. What's that, Jeff?
Much bigger than it used to be when I was working.
Oh, yeah, it's considerably larger. And so, we get to walk around, look at stuff. I didn't really find much to buy, which was kind of a bummer, because I'm always looking for something a little unusual. And I was hoping to find some WandaVision stuff for Colleen, and they didn't really have much there yet. But understanding that these things are still super popular, that's like no surprise. But, yeah, that was really great, except for the one part where I got sunscreen in my eye, and I ended up walking around like Popeye for a few hours, where I'm like, and still my eye, I messed my eye up so bad. I like gave it a chemical burn.
Was it the next day too? Cause during your show, you're like, my eye.
Yeah, it's still, I'm still having a problem where it's still like weepy and awful. I like gave my eye a chemical burn or something, which really sucks. The thing that was really funny is that I got a note from, Stephen Garber, who is a guy I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But he works Disney security, and he says, "Hey, I hear you're at Company D. Disney security is keeping an eye on you." And I'm like, "Oh my God, is it about the car, or is it the fact that I'm walking around Company D, you know, with this weird eye thing going on? I thought maybe I looked really creepy, or I was drawing attention to myself, being like super suspicious and stuff." And of course, it turned out to be the Star Wars car was causing a commotion in the parking lot.
No way, really?
Right, surprise, right? Yeah, but I was so relieved when he said that, because I'm like, oh my God, you know, what if they're following me around the store and I'm sitting here like with this weird crazy eye thing going on in my mask, and they're like, what's with this creep in our store? Who brought him? I like it, because you can't get in unless you're a Disney employee, and so I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But it was fun, and I really appreciate that Trevor was able to sign me in there, which was super neat. And we finally got Kit her stuff back, and we had a nice lunch. And yeah, everything was, except the eye thing, everything was great. Really super fun. Excuse me. And then we got to go hang out with our friends at the Ratty Beach. So it was cool stuff.
We have Sam as well, so I don't think we talked about Sam's watching too.
Oh, right on. Sweet.
So yeah.
All right. So everybody caught up on what happened over the weekend? Ready to move on to Star Wars?
I think so. I had a guy who forced me to take a test drive when I went to get a part for Colleen's car. At the Hyundai dealership.
Is anybody else picturing Sean like at gunpoint taking a test drive?
It almost was. I was like, looking at a car, and you know, we're in the car, and he's like, "Let's go," and like, I don't really need to go. And he's like, "No, come on, state of the art car, and it's this cool model year, and you should really check it out." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay." So I took a little drive around the you know, couple of blocks around the dealership. Yeah. It was a Hyundai dealership, and the guy was pretty chill. He was pretty funny. We were just mostly sort of joking around, because I was there to get a part for Colleen's steering column on her car, which is going bad. And they were super nice. Those guys in the parts department were really great, although I have to call them and tell them I can't bring the car in on Monday, because now I have a thing to do. But they were all really, really great. And it was fun to take a test drive in this car that I can't afford, because they've gone up $10,000 since the last time I looked at them.
Simple that, correct.
And I told him that, and he's and I'm like, look, this is, I don't need a new one, a used one is fine, and I'm looking for something, but I can only buy something at this price level. Call me if you find it, and, you know, and let me know, because the car was just fine. It was a Hyundai Sonata, and it was the top-of-the-line model with all the bells and whistles, which I really like, you know. I mean, you can back it in and out of a parking space with the key fob on the key if you want to. It's, like, really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It, and I don't necessarily need that, and but I don't want a brand-new car either. Unless it falls within my price range, and this didn't.
Yeah,
but that was kind of funny. And the guy's like, you know, let me show you something else. I'm like, no, I have to go meet my wife because we're going to this beach house. it was really weird.
I gotcha.
But yeah, that was. I think that was the only other significant thing that happened in the past week for me. But he was really funny. He was just like so laid back because he's just not selling any cars right now because nobody's got the money to buy anything. And so he's like, I'm here, I'm drawing a paycheck, I'm goofing off. And I kind of appreciated that. That was kind of okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Hmm. So, Star Wars.
Star Wars? Nobody Cooper, likes
no way,
Star
Cooper,
Wars.
I like Star Wars. Hey, third started. Okay, we'll start with the birthdays of a set of seven McGuire members. July 10th, 1930, and we're going to come back to that date in a minute. Bruce Boa was born. And I'm trying to think. Oh, he was like...
we're like, who's that?
He was on Hoth. He's like Admiral something. Admiral... Kind of,
Riken? General Riken on Han?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. He was the guy who was harassing Han Solo about, you know,
yeah.
A death General mark's Riken. Not an easy thing to live with, Solo.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, yeah. General Riken.
I'm glad we know who the hell these people are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's hard sometimes, because it's like, a lot of these guys, they're just like, you just had one line in the movie, and we never saw you again. You know? We have July 13th, 1937. Jack Purvis was born. And, well, gosh, he played lots. He walks to Jawas, to droids, or, you know, whatever, you know.
Jack Purvis was amazing because he was also in Time Bandits.
Yes.
And I think he had an act with Kenny Baker. I think they used to tour as, like, this little guy comedy routine, which was, like, super cool.
So that's pretty cool. Our next one, our next one is back to July 10th, but 1949, is Winston Reckert. But he was the voice of Mungo Baobab and Sizerom in the Star Wars droids cartoon.
Neat.
Yeah. That's kind of neat. I don't really hear much from the other Star Wars presentations and their stuff, so that was kind of cool. And now we got regular history stuff. Okay. July 11th, year 2000, StarWars.com announced that Christopher Lee would be joining the cast of Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Excellent.
Yes. Cool.
July 12th, the first ever Lucasfilm Limited sanctioned Star Wars Collectors Convention was held in Mexico City. And we actually covered this once before, but I thought it was kind of neat to do it again. And our last one is July 14th, 2004, when the comic book Star Wars Empire number 22 was published.
Nice.
Yeah.
I remember that collector's convention was a pretty huge deal in Mexico City, and their, like, huge guest of honor was Steve Sansweet, like, king of the Star Wars collectors.
Yeah.
It was really funny, and just that everybody was, like, so excited that he actually showed up.
Yeah.
And it's funny when there's, like, you have, like, a celebrity among collectors, like, because everybody collects, you know, it's something that you know, most people have a collection of something. It could be books, it could be teacups, it could be Barbies, whatever you collect. And it's really funny when somebody's like a full on, they collect so much more stuff than you that they're a celebrity.
Exactly. And the Star Wars Empire has Chewie, Han, and Leia, and they run into something that is something that was still around from the Clone Wars era. And they fight with it looks like a weird tentacly bug plant thing. I can't really tell what it is.
Tentacly bug plant thing. This is Star Wars Empire 22?
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. As Dina Shan is the character I think that they focused on amongst the other characters that came back, but they're not. I mean, in the description, because I don't have the comic in front of me,
uh-huh.
other than description, it just kind of gives you a vague idea of what it is. Something that's on Yavin. So
I will say, taking a look at the cover of the comic book, yeah. it is not a flattering portrait of Han Solo.
It looks really bizarre, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's screaming. He has lost his blaster. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's not going well. And he's losing his shirt like Indiana Jones lost his sleeves to his shirt in Temple of Doom. He's got that thing going on. That's pretty funny.
Wacky.
Da, da, da. That's our stuff, yeah. That's it for Star Wars News.
Okay.
Star Wars News.
So, Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian Making of Season 2 Finale, 8/25 on Disney Plus. So, I guess this is another one of those making of.
Yeah. And specifically because it's the making of the Season 2 Finale.
Yeah.
It covers the big reveal at the end of the episode and how they did it, basically.
I need to be sure and watch that because I haven't watched any of the Season 2 behind the scenes yet.
I haven't either.
For that one?
For The Mandalorian.
Has there been any?
Yeah, they only had one. It was one episode.
Okay.
At any rate, our friend Shauna Tripsick... Mm-hmm. is the lead costume designer
on it
for Season 2. Mm-hmm. So
she's got a show
somewhere. I want to see her in there.
Yeah. Got to ask her for special pictures of a Cobb Vanth costume. Wink, 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 nudge, nudge, nudge.
She's right there on my Facebook. You can shoot her a note.
I guess you weren't going to costume college yet when I asked her to be the guest of honor.
I don't know. Yeah, it's maybe not. It's I don't know, what am I, like my fifth year now or something, or sixth or something?
Yeah, this was in 2010.
What number it's on now.
Yeah, this was when Colleen did the steampunk one, and she could basically, as Dean, she could ask whoever she wanted to be the special guest of honor. And she went for Shauna, and Shauna said yes.
Wow. I was so nervous to talk to her and everything.
And she was so nice. She was sweet. And actually, what was really funny, the real icebreaker for me, we went to the same private school when we were very young.
You
and my, I don't know if the school exists anymore, at least my location in Van Nuys is gone. But and that was pretty funny. So the school was called Pinecrest. And every time she does something good, I'm like, oh, Pinecrest. Here.
That's weird. When I was younger, we went to a place for like camping and whatnot with my family called Pinecrest. Odd.
Yeah, I don't know why it was called.
Place, I'm sure
Pinecrest. It was just a weird little private school that my mom put me into. I think largely because she was a single mom and she could leave me there till after work to like pick me up at 5:30 or 6. And so I think that's why I ended up there. And during the summer, of course, I ended up there for the summer. Because she had a job and couldn't really leave me alone. Because I'm not to be trusted.
Yep.
Allison!
Woo! Yep, Allison's listening too. Woo! Another person.
All right, so now we've got a heat wave.
I feel like I was just, did I talk about this on the show last week? And then we had this other like crazy example of it. I know I was just talking about it to somebody, but
heat wave somewhere.
Yeah. The heat has been so crazy, all over various parts of the country here and really all over the world. It's been a little nuts, in Arizona and places like that, car parts have been melting, like the plastic car parts have been melting. And I saw a picture from Dubai where the bumper was just streams of plastic. It looked like cheese, like pizza cheese. When you pull up a slice and the cheese comes off of it, it's exactly what it looked like. And the bumper, most of the bumper was laying on the ground with these strings connecting it.
Yeah.
And this picture was really funny. They didn't identify who it was, but I feel like we could know them based on the picture. And so it's the inside of a car, and the person took it while sitting in the car, like a sort of selfie style. And their Han Solo Millennium Falcon shield has melted down across their dashboard in that same melty cheese kind of way. And so it's the one that's a honeycomb, like bubble wrap.
Yeah, yeah.
In with the picture of the Millennium Falcon cockpit with everybody in it.
Uh-huh, and it's just the one gone, I used to have, yeah.
It's just gone down there. And so hanging from the rearview mirror are a pair of Han Solo dice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we could know this person. This person sounds like one of us. But this happened in Fresno.
My car, damn it.
Yeah, it happened in Fresno, California.
Gotcha.
And the heat reached 114 degrees, which was a record for the
area. Wow, man, that's toasty.
And of course, because it's in a closed car, which gets even hotter, it just completely melted their window screen. Yeah. And so, you know, poor Han. And it's like,
Everywhere is getting really, really hot heat wave, but like here in Orange, it's not a heat wave at all. This is like a typical summer right now.
Yeah, it's okay here.
It's kind of cool for a summer.
The heat wave moved up to the Pacific South Northwest.
Yeah.
And so it went up to Washington State.
Like skipped us for a little bit.
Yeah, I'll take the
break. Back in October.
It'll come back. Yeah. September, October. Yeah. We'll be, you know, sweating for Halloween. Yeah. Like we do.
Trick or treat. Oop, we lost another kid. Get to water.
And I remember when we had to wear coats when it was cold and we're like, well, I'm not going to wear a coat over my Batman costume. Batman doesn't wear a coat.
Trick-or-treat in the rain, trick-or-treat in the fog,
but now it's
all sorts of weather.
Now it's too hot. Like, I don't want to go out there in a costume. It's hot. I'm sweating.
It's been so bouncy with what it's going to be for Halloween sometimes. Yeah. So, I don't know.
That's funny.
We'll see.
Cool. Theme parks.
So, I don't think they did one last year, but this year, the Haunted Mansion is doing their gingerbread house for the party scene of the Haunted Mansion. And so there's the ballroom, and they always have, there's like a cake there and stuff like that. And for the past, 20 years or so, they have put gingerbread houses there. And the gingerbread houses get planned in advance because, of course, they're crazy ornate, and they get bigger and crazier every year.
I have to say, though, the first time that I heard about the gingerbread house, between then and then by the time I actually saw it, I was super disappointed.
Well, because the pictures make it look bigger, and you think you can get a better look at it than you can.
But the only way you can get a look at it is if you go on the Haunted Mansion ride and you're in your Doom buggy,
and you have binoculars or something
on the table.
On the table,
which is a floor down, and you're like, "Oh, that's nice." And looking at this picture of the one they have planned for this year, they're like, "There are all these little hidden details in it," and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to see
that. Who's going to be able to see it? Yeah.
So you wait for the ride to stop because it always does right there.
Right. You got to make it break down at that spot.
And then you get out your camera and, you know, that's what I do.
What they're doing, so for the past 20 years, they have had the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay on the Haunted Mansion. And this is sort of part of that. So gingerbread houses, of course, are part of the Christmas side of things. And so they have done details in this house that are all made up from all the other gingerbread houses that they've done. And so starting from 2001, where they had like a monster house.
Yeah.
And then they had one made of presents, and they had Oogie Boogie's house and Zero's dog house and a man-eating wreath, all of this kind of stuff. And so this whole thing They have a picture with years and lines drawn to everything, so you can figure out what's from what. Because honestly, it's so detailed, it's just a gigantic mess.
Yeah.
So it could be really super fun.
Yeah.
But I feel like trying to see it from your Doom buggy up on the balcony, looking down at the table, I think it's going to be hard. Unless they go really like, big with it.
I used to, well, you go on there and you have a good enough angle. As long, if you, like I said, if the ride usually stops half the time for that, when that's going on.
Yeah.
And so I usually take my phone out and flip on the night vision and then just stick my arms up above, up high, you know, and, yeah, and aim it down and take a picture.
That's not my problem. The problem is that it's small. From the distance, it's small.
I guess.
I can't see it.
I get up next to it.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Like when they have one in the hotel.
Exactly. That's what I was going to bring up. You can go to the hotel, like and they usually have a big display that the kitchen did, and it's really amazing. Boy. And you can stand right there and see it. But anyway, and of course they also released some of their holiday 20th anniversary merchandise.
Yeah.
And so they've got like a water bottle and they've got some t-shirts and there's a new sipper which I think they just had this past week. It's now through July 18th, I guess, if you can get into the park and go to the French Market or the Harbor Gallery. They have this Jack Skellington shaped sipper cup.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, kind of funky.
Gotcha. Hey, is Colleen's mic turned low? Because they're saying that.
Apparently, at least I'm not Kit's on saying Twitch anymore.
It's not coming in very well.
We're not on Twitch anymore?
You are not on Twitch anymore.
Like they can't hear her.
Oh, that's weird. Talk again, Colleen.
Hello, this is Colleen.
There you go. I can hear you now.
I've got you way, way boosted up. So I don't know what changed unless your mic cable is loose or something.
I don't know.
Something, because when you did that, her voice, I could hear it perfectly well.
And now it's quiet again.
And went back to far away again.
Right, so the problem is I've got her volume shoved all the way up. And
it must be like a loose line, maybe?
Ooh! Whoa, I mean, I can do that, but that's not going to help her. So, I'll do what I can. I don't know what changed, because we heard her perfectly fine at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well.
You got me.
I can hear it better now, so, I mean, it's whatever.
What to do? It's weird, I tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I sound normal.
Yeah, totally hear you fine.
Be normal, Colleen.
I don't know if I can do that. Stumped me. are we done talking about gingerbread houses?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yes, totally.
Character cavalcade.
Go ahead.
So the character cavalcade has started up at Disneyland, which appears to be a parade of characters that makes its way down Main Street. Of course, with all the distancing and things, getting at characters has been particularly difficult, and they've arranged a lot of characters to be distant from you so that you stand in one spot, they stand in another, and you kind of selfie them into your picture. Exactly. And so this is sort of the closest thing they've got to a parade so far since the whole COVID thing. And, you know, it's good enough. It's just a bunch of characters, like, walking down the street. And you're encouraged to stop and watch them. But unlike a parade, they're not expecting you to camp out and, you know, wait hours to get a look at the parade. It's just a cool thing that happens. So it's nice that they've sort of started that back up at Disneyland. Get your character fix. And you know, some of the characters look kind of unusual. You don't see them all the time. You know, Captain Hook and Wendy and people like that.
Another page. Rise of the Resistance boarding groups are no longer required with a VIP tour package at Hollywood Studios. It's now included.
Except they changed their mind.
A few days later, they said boarding groups are now not included in VIP tours.
Right. Now, so the VIP tours are
There's more.
Anywhere from... $450 to $850 an hour. And that does not include your admission to the park. And so this was this is in Florida, of course. Yeah. And I hear that the tours are amazing. They may very well be worth $450 to $850 an hour. And I would expect that if you were taking an all-day tour, that you would then, you know, as a perk, love to have Rise of the Resistance as a thing you could just go and get on and do. And so it was interesting that this was announced, and then it's not. And I don't know, you know, if it was like announced by fans and not a real deal. If you get a VIP tour, they do not, they will not just let you on Rise of the Resistance without having to get a boarding group. So.
No tricking the system that way.
You can't
people.
Even pay almost $1,000 to skirt the system. And,
today.
Yeah.
I bet people could come up with enough money to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You like you to look pass money under the table to somebody?
If you were rich enough or famous enough or something like that,
you could probably
make it happen.
That's probably okay.
The Magic Kingdom's Christmas Party is getting replaced with Disney Very Merriest After Hours. I never understand updates like this. I think you have to be like an uber Disney
is it
fan.
Like a, is it like just a name change or something?
I'm sure it's a different After Hours event.
I have no idea what this is.
Well, I mean, it's at the Magic Kingdom in Florida, yes. So...
I got that part.
You don't... Yeah. And it's a Christmas party that you pay extra for, the way that you pay extra for the Halloween party that we have out here and they have there. And instead of being called the Magic Kingdom Christmas Party, it's called Disney Very Merriest After Hours. And I'm sure if you go to the article, they will tell you about some other spiffy... things they've changed, but...
No, they don't. They tell you that it goes from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Okay,
on
that's
special
entirely
nights.
Entirely silly.
And they tell you that you will be able to see Minnie's terrible. Wonderful Christmas Time fireworks. and, you know, it's a limited ticketed event. The reality of it is that the... they're kind of bringing it into line with some of the other things. Like we had a whole bunch of events here on the West Coast parks that were Disney After Dark. And we had a Star Wars one. They had a Pixar one. They did like a whole bunch of them. And that, you know, that was kind of cool. It was a special ticketed event that you could buy and you could do an After Hours thing. And that's what they called it. And I'm surprised that this isn't, although After Dark isn't very holiday sounding. So calling it, you know, After Hours, I guess, is maybe a little softer, but it's the identical thing. I think they're just rebranding it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure that if you compare whatever the previous event was, the hours are probably different. And I noticed that a lot of these After Hours events have much shorter hours than they used to. And that's probably
pandemic related.
Yeah. And I think it's what engendered the name change.
Yeah.
They made a few changes to it, and so people didn't come back and go, well, last time when you did this event, you had these things. Well, by changing the name, it becomes a completely new event that they're technically not able to compare with the
Man,
previous.
I would change the name of the event every year to avoid that kind of
I know, right? Sense. I would totally do that, too.
Welcome to Disney After Dark.
After Dark.
Well, they also announced that the gingerbread houses will be back at the Walt Disney World hotels for the holiday season. Mm. And that's kind of cool because you can get right up to them. And also, they have one that's big enough that they're selling things out of it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Well, and when we went here in California to look at those, man, they were huge. I mean, it was on a table that was like 3 feet high, and then it was another 10 feet high.
They weren't selling anything out of it, but right next door to it, they had a little table set out where you could buy hot cider or a cup of cocoa or something.
It was super, super cool.
Yeah. There's a new baby hippo at the Animal Kingdom.
Baby hippo.
Hippods.
I don't know. Show a picture?
Does it have a name?
Let's see. His name is Fred.
Fred?
Sorry.
Baby was born on July 12th. I made it up. and can be seen on Kilimanjaro safaris as the calf bonds and nurses.
Kilimanjaro.
They have not examined the newborn closely just yet.
It's tiny.
Ooh, look at the baby. It's oh my gosh, it's super cute.
Yeah.
And it'd probably, like, you know, eat your face.
Eat your face?
Well, I mean, hippos, they look cute, but they're super dangerous.
That's right, they look cute.
Only if they blow bubbles.
There's our cute little hippo over there.
There
the
you
little,
go,
little,
okay.
Little
you
tiny
see
baby.
Baby.
Yep.
It's very cute.
Monorail services return to Epcot on July 18th, so that's cool. And then traveling farther east to Disneyland Paris, a health pass is now required to get into Disneyland Paris.
Which I assume says that you have been vaccinated or tested.
Let's see.
President Macron.
The president said that a sanitary pass will be required for all leisure and cultural locations gathering more than 50 people.
As of July 21st.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I think that's fair. It plays interestingly into the issue that they're having. We talked about this last week where Disneyland Paris was making their fast passes a pay for play kind of a deal, where if you wanted a good fast pass, you had to pay for it.
Right. Yeah.
And all of their lines exploded.
Because everybody wanted to get on the rides before you have to pay for it?
Yeah, because basically it was going to be like anywhere between 8 and 10 euros, which is like 9 to 15 bucks.
So Andy has a good point. He says, then 1 million people enrolled the next day. I wonder if you had to have one of those to get into any recreational and leisure places in the United States, what that would do to vaccination rates. Hmm. Like, if we could finally convince people, okay, you can't go to Disneyland if you're not vaccinated. Yeah. You can't go to a baseball game. You can't go to a football game or a basketball game.
I have found that here in the United States, that just ticks people off. And they put their foot down and go, well, fine, I'm not going to do that. And they get really upset.
For like 3 weeks, and then they get tired of not being able to do it.
I guess.
It anyway.
I don't know. Because, I mean, so we're
then
having
a... the Delta thing, and they can't go anyway.
We're having a spike right now in Los Angeles. And we are now told that we have to go back to mandatory masking in Los Angeles County. Because we're getting 1,000 people a day who are getting this Delta variant. And the people who are in the hospitals, the people who are getting very, very sick and need medical treatment, are the people with no vaccine. They didn't get the vaccination. And that is not enough to get people to go get the vaccination still. People are like...
And then they're offering
it
like...
It can't happen to me.
You can enter a contest to win $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, they've got all these prizes. Yeah. It's become a frickin' vaccination game show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And people still don't want to do it. They're trying to bribe people to do it, and they won't go. There's a certain portion of the population who would rather risk death... Because they think it's weak of them to go get a vaccination, or they don't trust the vaccination, or they don't trust
conspiracy
science, or there's something. And it's driving me nuts. It's crazy.
It's turning into a zombie. That's what it does, right?
I don't know. Well, I mean, gosh.
I mean, they probably already are zombies, but, you know.
They're going to be the people that we saw in the movie trailers tonight for the bad movies that we had to watch trailers for. But, I don't know.
Wait a minute, I got a vaccine, I had to watch those.
It was so easy to get the vaccination, and I've got a thing on my phone that the company gave me that said I've been vaccinated, and it's been great. I went to the car dealership, everybody at the car dealership had been vaccinated, and I felt okay about sitting in a car next to a dude looking at the car and doing the test drive.
So, Sean, you said there were 1,000 new cases a day?
Yeah.
Today? There were 1,537 new cases in Los Angeles County.
Ooh, there you go.
Yep.
It's just getting worse. And it's the dumb people. Maybe this is cold of me. I'm like, okay, it's your choice now. Now you're deciding to not go get the vaccine and that's fine. And so if you get sick, that's you. That's your thing. I am less. It's been going on for so long that I'm like, you have made your decision as an adult. Good for you.
Yeah. And the new mask mandate for Los Angeles County goes into effect at midnight on Saturday, July 17th.
Okay.
Good to
know. And other news. Hi, Christina. Hi, Julia. There you go. Two more. Listers.
Hi, Tracy.
Nice.
Hi to CGW Prez.
I think that's Tracy.
That's Tracy.
It's Mella, used to be CGW Prez. You're thinking that CGW Prez is someone else?
Well, no, I don't think it's Tracy. No, is what I mean.
No, it's a different Tracy.
It's okay, the CGW president who's Tracy.
It's a different Tracy.
Or
ha,
it's Mella, who used to be the CGW president.
No, think about it, Colleen. Do you think Mella has a Twitch account?
Yeah, she does. She's joined us on Twitch before.
Does she?
Okay. Yeah, she's,
except she goes in under her own name.
Ah, okay.
So Tracy's trying to be all secretive. We see you, Tracy.
That's right. But anyway, this everybody trying to get in before this FastPass thing happens is going to be really interesting because who wants to pay that extra money, man?
Tracy said her name was taken, so that's why she went after CGW.
That's awesome. People have been posting pictures of crowds that say "Welcome to the Standby Pass drama."
Oh dear.
And so it's like basically they have made more of a crowd than it's like I feel like it's like the carpool lane. So here in Los Angeles we built carpool lanes everywhere.
Yes.
You know, your tax dollars at work. And then they privatized the carpool lanes. Now you have to have like a little box that unless you have a certain number of people in your car, it charges you money.
Yes.
And so
it's the fast track. Yeah.
Right. So you can't, you have to have like three or four people in your car before it doesn't pay.
And unfortunately, you can't just drive through. You have to sign up for the transponder. Then you put money into account. They take money out.
Yeah. It's really complicated.
It's ridiculous garbage.
And it's money now. You have to pay money. Yeah. And so basically, a lot of people that would normally have gone into the carpool lane are now driving in regular traffic and making that worse. And it's nuts. And I feel like that's what's happening with the FastPass.
Yeah. Yes, Eric, we are going to talk about Loki tonight, but it's last week's Loki like usual.
We're still a week behind.
Not the finale.
We have not seen the finale. Please do not spoil for anyone.
I have, and I'm not going to say anything, but I have.
Yeah, Kit and Kit. Jeff have both seen it, but Sean and Colleen have not.
I will, however, remind all y'all that you are listening to Docking Bay 94 on sci-fi.radio. If you're over on the radio side of things, we do have a few folks over there from the United States, Canada, Germany, Finland, Estonia, and the Russian Federation. Hi, guys. Thanks for being here. Also, you could be watching us on Facebook, and I sent it over to the Krypton Radio page, too. You can actually watch it over from the Krypton Radio page. Sci-Fi Radio page. We changed our name years ago. And of course, you're watching on my Facebook page or on YouTube or on Twitch. And if you're doing any of those things, we're very excited. I am Sean Obi Sean Crosby.
This is Jeff Solodano.
This is Colleen Kaylee Crosby.
And Kit Boba Kit Sovine is posting all of the cool links in all of our various social chats. So keeping you posted with the same information that we are using to do all of this.
Yes.
So last week we upset people when we did the Loki thing too early. So why don't we do Loki at a quarter after the hour, as usual?
Yeah.
And let us instead...
As usual?
Would people seem to expect it at a quarter after the hour.
All right.
And we got a little flack last week for not doing that. So we will go back to doing that. And let's talk about the Emmys.
All right. Talk about them, Sean.
Okay. The 2021 Emmy Awards have been announced. And really interesting. WandaVision, of course. Bridgerton. I May Destroy You. Ted Lasso. Lovecraft Country. The Queen's Gambit. All have nominations in varying capacities. But however, The Crown and The Mandalorian tied for the most Emmy nominations at 24 apiece. 24! That's insane. And I don't know if you remember this, but like about a year ago, maybe a little longer, Steven Spielberg was like, oh, you know, streaming, you know, the streaming companies are nothing and they can't compare to you know, television or to the movies or to the whatever. Da, da, da. And then, like, Steven Spielberg signed a deal with Netflix just recently. And then they're scoring all these Emmy nominations, and you know, you gotta feel like the streaming services are really putting their money where their mouth is with quality.
Streaming services. That fits it perfectly.
Screaming services?
Screaming ones?
Right. So, Ted Lasso has 20 nominations. WandaVision got 23, which is pretty great.
Just one second.
Yeah.
We actually have our first subscription with Rosella Subscribed.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have our first subscription. Woo-hoo!
Well, thank you, Rosella. Awesome.
Yeah. Nice. What is that, a Twitch subscription?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Neat.
Cool. Wow.
Awesome.
So, anyway, there is so much genre stuff in here with The Boys and The Handmaid's Tale.
And Rebecca.
It's really crazy how much nerd stuff we've got. And, you know, lots of comedy stuff. I love, can I just say how funny I think it is that Cobra Kai is nominated for Best Comedy? Because I'm not entirely sure Cobra Kai looks at itself as a comedy, but they're so thrilled to be nominated. They just, like, think it's the best. So anyway, it's been absolutely crazy. Really, really great people. Just a huge, huge surprise in a lot of the people who were nominated. And the quality of people. And one of the things I want to mention just briefly, Disney has had their differences with Gina Carano of late. And they didn't have any plans for her. And people were like, oh my God, Disney fired her. And they're like, no, we just don't have any plans for her in shows. But they did submit her for Best Supporting Actress in this. And so, and it was Supporting Actress in a Drama. And I just kind of wanted to point out, because I've been seeing a lot of people talking about this on Facebook, that people feel she was snubbed. Now, just to tell you how the Emmys work, they get like 2,000 actors submitted at them. There's a voting body of over 2,000 people who vote on who's going to make it into the nominations, which is what we're talking about right now, the people who are up to be voted on to win an Emmy. And in the category of supporting actress in a drama, there were 288 For Your Consideration supporting actresses submitted. And one of those was Gina Carano. So she would have had to have beaten out 280 people to get on that list. I thought she did a fine job in The Mandalorian. She was great as the character she was hired to play. It was perfect casting, almost tight casting. And she was just fine. But when you compare it to the rest of the supporting actresses who did get a nomination here, just think about her performance, think about what she did, and the fact that Disney was cool, and they, for everyone who gets submitted, it's $400. You pay $400 and you submit your person. And so they did that and submitted her to be in the pool. These are the people she lost to. Anjanou Ellis from Lovecraft Country, Gillian Anderson from The Crown, Helena Bonham Carter from The Crown, Emerald Fennel from The Crown, Madeline Brewer from The Handmaid's Tale, Anne Dowd from The Handmaid's Tale, Yvonne Strahovski from The Handmaid's Tale, and Samira Wiley from The Handmaid's Tale. Now, you'll notice that everybody in the supporting actor's role is almost entirely from The Crown or from The Handmaid's Tale, which tells you about the quality of those shows. But,
gotcha.
Even if you loved Gina Carano in her role, I don't think she was up to that level.
Mm.
And so don't go saying she got snubbed. She's just not there yet. So, you know.
Yeah, totally.
I think she's got a ways to go as an actress to make it past those other 280 people to get into that category. But I've seen a lot of people very, very upset, and they think it's a conspiracy, and it's not.
Everything's a conspiracy.
Because, oh my God, and the supporting actors, like John Lithgow is in there, Bradley Whitford, Giancarlo Esposito from The Mandalorian made it into there. I mean, there's great people. These are the best of the best. Yeah. And you gotta work hard and keep studying and beat the best to get there. So, stop it with the conspiracy theory stuff. It's gonna be really interesting to see how it all shakes out. And just about everybody's favorite shows got nods. And like The Boys is up for best drama series. And
weird.
Yeah. There's like 4 of 8 shows are sci-fi. That's Can you believe cool, it? Though. That's insane. Man,
that's awesome.
There's even 15 years ago, if you told me that would happen, I wouldn't have believed you.
15 years ago, it'd be four out of the 8 shows were canceled within the first year.
Well, yeah, there's that too, but they certainly wouldn't have been sci-fi stuff.
Hmm.
That's nuts. So anyway, it's really cool that so much of this stuff is getting recognition, and also a lot of it also makes me feel bad that I'm not watching this stuff. Although guest actor for a comedy, just about everybody in there is from Saturday Night Live.
Of course.
Dave Chappelle and Alec Baldwin. Morgan Freeman is in there for the Kaminsky Method. He's the only one that's not from SNL. But anyway, you can read all of those at The Hollywood Reporter. And we also have a very sci-fi specific article up at sci-fi.radio. You can go there and look at the article that we've got.
I would like to bring attention to the category of supporting actress in a limited series or movie.
Uh-huh.
And say, how do you compare Catherine Hahn from WandaVision to Philippa Sue from Hamilton?
Well, right. Well, and
it's like so different and so good.
And both of them. Renee Elise Goldsberry is from Hamilton also.
Right.
And
I just meant that Philippa Sue, her performance and Catherine Hahn's performance as Eliza could not be
and Agatha. Yeah, you can't.
Right. Couldn't be more different.
But, you know, it'd be a hell of a buddy cop movie. that's actually something I kind of want to bring up too, because Hamilton was what we saw on Disney Plus. Was originally a play, it was shot as a play, and that footage actually was meant to be inserted into a documentary. It was never meant to be released the way it was. They shot it over 3 nights. We just watched it last Sunday, which was coincidentally the anniversary of the Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton duel, which was kind of interesting the way that worked out. But this was never really meant to be seen the way we saw it, like released as a movie. They decided after the fact, I guess, that it was good enough to do it. And so this wasn't something that was even really made for TV. It just ended up there. And, you know, it was shot back in 2016, and it's, like, really old. So it's just kind of weird. It, like, doesn't represent 2020, which is what these awards are really for. And as Lin-Manuel Miranda will be the first to tell you and has done, he said that this is the best rehearsed movie ever shot because they did their roles for a year before they shot video of it. And in fact, a lot of people came back who had already left the show. and like Lin-Manuel Miranda had left the show, and he came back and did his part again, and Jonathan Groff did that too. So it's really kind of an interesting thing. I almost feel like they have an unfair advantage in being included in this, and I'm not going to say that it's not good. Hamilton was flipping amazing.
Yeah,
but it's hard to compare those things. Comparing Hamilton to WandaVision,
they're so wildly different.
Yeah,
and it's not. It's not like a genre, like it's not like there's a musical category where they can put Hamilton in the musical category.
Yeah.
It's really kind of weird. Like there, you know, there's a Dolly Parton thing in here that's like not a musical. There is no musical category that I can find. There's variety special. And there's competition series, which contains things like Drag Race and stuff like that. But man. Absolutely crazy. But I think that it's really hard to compare those two things. And
I'd
think it's
like
going
to
throw a wrench into the
lead actor in a drama series.
Yeah.
They've got Regé Jean Page for Bridgerton.
For Bridgerton, yeah.
And he definitely wins prettiest. Mm-hmm.
But you're not sure about his acting ability?
Because he was so pretty, it was hard to tell.
Oh, dear.
I didn't hear a word he said, but wow.
He was just pretty. I'm sure he was fine. Billy Porter is in there, too. I love Billy Porter, but I didn't see Pose, so I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't either. Although, isn't that also a musical, kind of a musical presentation? Or is it a drama? I don't know.
Pose? I have no idea. It's in a drama series.
I know, and I have to say that I'm not entirely sure.
Sadly, This Is Us, Lovecraft Country, The Crown, Bridgerton, Pose, and Perry Mason, I've only seen all of Bridgerton.
Bridgerton, right. Well, and is Bridgerton really drama?
It's dramatic in the way a soap opera is.
I
mean, what is Downton Abbey?
I don't know. I guess it's a drama.
Slightly more comedic than Downton Abbey, but it was trying to be like Downton Abbey, so.
No, Tracy says that in Pose, there's music, but they don't sing or dance. So, okay, fair enough.
Did we talk about
like a missed opportunity with Billy Porter?
I know.
Right? Okay.
Did we talk about costume design on here?
No, because I don't see it in the list that I have.
Rude. Production design.
I think... Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Production design.
I think it's on the sci-fi.radio one, which I have open. So, here's costume design. costume design is all nerd stuff.
Nice.
The Umbrella Academy, Christopher Hargadon, Dana Pink for Lovecraft Country, Deborah Hansen for The Handmaid's Tale, Shauna Terpsich for Mandalorian, and Maze C. Rubio for WandaVision.
Hang on, the reason why is because the category is Outstanding Fantasy Sci-Fi Costumes.
Oh.
So the costuming categories are weird. Outstanding period costumes.
Uh-huh.
And they've got so much information here, it's hard to tell. Bridgerton, The Crown, Halston, The Queen's Gambit, and Ratched, Nurse Ratched.
Those were
outstanding
good costumes.
Fantasy and sci-fi costumes, Handmaid's Tale, Lovecraft Country, Mandalorian, Umbrella Academy, and WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Contemporary costumes, Blackish, Euphoria, Hacks, I May Destroy You, Mayor of Easttown, The Politician, and Pose. So they've got three separate costuming categories,
That's
which is awesome.
Interesting. Wow.
Super fun to see a friend as one of the people here.
I know, right?
So, The Mandalorian, really cool. Chapter 13, The Jedi, Disney Plus, Lucasfilm Limited, Shauna Terpsich, costume designer, Julie Robar, costume supervisor, and Sarah Fox, assistant costume designer.
Oh, it's nice that they list the team.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That is really cool.
I like that that they're breaking that apart. I heard that there was a stunt category this year, too.
Oh, good.
And and so now Colleen's got to, like, look at the stunts and see
if
there's anyone she knows.
I might know some of the people in it. directing. Although I haven't seen, I've only seen people being excited on Facebook over The Mandalorian, so I'm imagining if any of my other friends had been nominated, that I would be seeing excitement on Facebook.
Stunt coordination and stunt performance.
That's true. I think that that's probably legit.
Wow.
Because
their categories are very specific.
Yeah, that's why I do like a quick search through the page to find whatever.
But Doom Patrol, SWAT, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Mandalorian, and Warrior were ones that are nominated for Outstanding Stunt Coordination.
Well, they've got Outstanding Period and or Character Hairstyling.
Wow.
Contemporary Hairstyling. Picture Editing. That's not what I'm looking for, though.
Let's see here. Stunt Performance. Ooh, it's different.
Hairstyling Interaction.
Cobra Kai, Gangs of London, Lovecraft Country, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and The Mandalorian for Outstanding Stunt Performance. So
they've got three categories for non-prosthetic makeup, and then they've got a category for Outstanding Prosthetic Makeup. And that is Lovecraft Country, The Mandalorian, Pose, Star Trek Discovery, and This Is Us.
Wow.
Hmm.
Huh.
And for The Mandalorian, it's Chapter 13, The Jedi.
Wow.
Okay.
Anyway, it's past 8:15, so we should be talking about...
Loki, definitely. Loki. So I'll tell you what, why don't you come back at 8:30 or half past the hour, wherever you happen to be on the clock. And so when we hit 30, we'll stop talking about Loki. But we are going to talk about not last night's episode that came out, but the episode for the week before, which is episode 5. Yeah, so if you don't want to hear that, turn the volume down for about 15 minutes. Yeah, more like 10 minutes. And we'll see you at the bottom of the hour. Okay? Okay. Bing, 5, 4... 3, 2, 1.
Spoilers ahead. Da, 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 da. For number 5.
Can I say one more thing about the Emmys?
Yeah. Oh.
There is an Outstanding Character Voiceover Performance
award.
That's super cool. I never knew that.
I think a lot of these are new.
Oh.
I feel like they are.
Okay. So. All right. So back to Loki.
Yeah. So, wow. That was a really good one this week.
It was Gatorific. Oh, yeah,
it was Gatorific. Loki got to be Captain Hook.
And Andy's right. Richard E. Grant crushed it.
You know what? Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad.
Stole the show.
I'm so glad that it was somebody that, like, we know by reputation. We've, like, seen all the stuff that he's done. He's been around forever. And sometimes you just get an actor in a role who, without trying, just effortlessly brings the weight to it. Just brings a gravity to the role.
Did you guys see the picture of him in his Loki costume, like with his sunglasses on, I think?
No.
And he said, years ago, my father said to me, "Do you really want to spend your life dancing around in tights in front of people? I hope you're proud of me, Dad."
That's really funny.
It was.
Well, and, you know, I mean, who hasn't had their parents tell you were wasting your time at something you really liked that hopefully later on you got to go, "Hey, look, look, it worked out." That's really funny. Yeah, I loved...
Okay, actually, I have the exact quote here because I'm looking at it now.
Okay.
He's not wearing sunglasses. He's wearing his reading glasses,
I see.
Which, if anything, makes the costume even better. But he doesn't have his
horns
on. He has the yellow hood.
Right.
My late father asked me 4 decades ago, "Do you really want to spend your life in makeup and tights? At 64, this get-up for Loki official for Disney Plus would have made him cackle."
That's really funny.
Yes.
And, you know, it's got to, not that we haven't seen him in enough tights, you know, over the years. We just saw, we were doing trivia stuff, and we just saw a picture of him in something like the Scarlet Pimpernel or whatever, which was pretty funny. But, and he was, of course, considerably younger. But yeah, I really like I like how they worked everybody out this
week. A building full of Lokis.
Yeah, and, well, and I like that Richard Grant got his hero moment.
Yes,
and it really kind of shed a lot on the character where you know he got to fulfill his glorious purpose, as it were, and he helped the other Lokis. He went out in style, and he seemed perfectly good with it. His little maniacal laugh at the end was
well, he can, perfect. He can turn into an inanimate objects, and so as his trickery, his particular power for that Loki. And if you saw the episode, all that was left was like his little helmet thing,
right?
So
his toasted helmet.
Is he gone, or is he?
Or is he a rock?
Oh,
yeah. Is it just the helmet sitting there? You know,
it was it was pretty great, regardless.
So, what are the different powers of the different Lokis?
Well, they're all supposed to have the same powers. I think it depends which ones they have focused on to perfect.
To strengthen?
Yes.
Yeah. Because as we learned at the end of the episode,
locations,
we learned that Loki, our Loki, had enchantment, which he didn't think he did, but Sylvie convinced him he did, and he was able to channel that at the very last minute.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. The Easter eggs in this one, oh my God.
Yeah,
they worked overtime in this with like Frog Loki,
yes.
or Frog Thor as the companion, I guess, to Alligator Loki in the Lizard Pantheon.
they actually had shot a whole scene with Thor Loki and Alligator. I'm sorry, Thor Frog Thor and Alligator Loki, and it was apparently really funny, but they couldn't use it. And so they just stuck with what they did in this episode.
Maybe it'll show up in the special features.
The Thanos copter, as Andy points out, which was really interesting. And
it's funny, you know what that's from, right?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't. What's it from?
Well, okay, so Spider-Man, this goes back to Spider-Man. Spider-Man used to be on the Electric Company. So Marvel did a comic book. It was called Amazing Spidey Stories, or whatever. It's all about that Spider-Man,
right?
And so one of the bad guys was Thanos, but he flew a helicopter. He wasn't all powerful. He shows up later, and on the back of the helicopter says Thanos. And so they just threw that one in there.
In there. We did a thing, a little Spider-Man reference in one of our shows. That was Spidey versus the Wall from the from the Electric Company, which was pretty funny. They also had a helicarrier with Hydra markings on it, which was really cool. So it was like in one of the alternate universes, Hydra took over S.H.I.E.L.D. And
they kind of did,
But I mean, like officially, they didn't have a chance to. To rebrand everything in what we saw in the MCU. But
really cool. The Dark Aster was there too, as Andy points out. It was the running the Accuser ship.
Right.
It was crashed there too. So
that's really
a lot
funny.
Of cool stuff just in the background floating around. So,
and it was it was definitely like a chew the scenery kind of thing. I'm glad that we got more of Mobius. Yeah. I was really, really worried that we were done with him, and I'm glad that he came back in a suitable and reasonable way.
Oh, totally.
And
we'll see. I'm sure more of him.
So somebody suggested, and I think this would be super fun. I think Kevin Wright suggested this. I've wanted to do something very similar at conventions with the Dread Pirate Roberts, where everybody shows up in black with a "My name is Dread Pirate Roberts, number 152."
All the Lokis
just show up show up in your version of a Loki variant, some kind of horns, and you just like have a lobby party at a convention.
That'd be so
with
funny.
All the Loki. And there's no wrong way to do it.
Somebody said if the next big convention doesn't have tons of Lokis, then we're doing it wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, God, that would be so great. And honestly, you just, whatever you're wearing, just put the horns on. You know, it's Loki Jedi. It's Loki whatever.
I like the variety of horns that they have on the different
characters. Yeah, me too.
Characters.
Yeah, they change. Yeah.
Well, and
their different costumes. So I actually read an article, and I should have shared it with our group, about why they decided to have him in his in his variant. I forget what it's called. The variant group.
The TVA?
The variant group. The TVA, yeah. Why they had him in that costume instead of one of his Loki outfits. And the upshot of the article was because they needed his epiphanies and what he was learning to shine through.
Yes.
And they didn't want you to be distracted by the silliness.
Making him more, you know, quote unquote, human helped his realizations be more grounded.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally see that. And I had thought about that, too, because I'm like, it's really weird that, you know, when he had the ability, he got his powers back, basically, at the end of time, like everybody else did. Yeah. He didn't change his costume. The closest he got was the blanket that he put around him and Sylvie.
Yeah.
It was like the fanciest he got. He could have done anything he wanted to, yet he stayed in the sort of earthbound duds. And it worked. It worked better for him, and it made... even when we saw, you know, Loki for president show up, in more earthbound clothes, it was okay. He still stood out. And I think he was much more relatable, to everybody. I think it was a good call, a really good call. So.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Trying to think if there's anything, I should make notes during these stupid things because.
Well, I like the fact that, and so I think Aubrey brought this up and that our favorite Loki was the only one that could understand alligator Loki.
Oh, the classic Loki?
Yeah, classic Loki is the only one that was able to understand him, I think.
Well, couldn't the kid understand him?
He'd been around for so long. I don't know if the kid did or not.
Huh. I'll have to watch it again.
But
I thought so too, but I'm not sure if he did or not.
And Andy points out that when Loki and Mobius hugged, it was the first real friendship that Loki has formed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was
outside of another Loki, because I think that there's either a romance or a friendship with him and Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, and it definitely represents a switch from his narcissistic all Loki all the time view starting to be concerned about others and to worry about others and to drop his walls around others.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people that I've known who've been super narcissistic like that, or, you know, looking out for numero uno kind of a thing, they built a lot of walls. They've been hurt by a lot of people and they don't want it to happen again. And letting those walls down is really hard. It's nice that in something so fantastic and comic book, we still get some reasonable character growth.
And, yeah, totally.
And, you know, it's good. Because I went into this not liking Loki at all. He just was not one of my favorite characters. And as much as I love Tom Hiddleston, and I think he does a great job, I didn't really like him until now. Now I'm on board. Is funny. Did you see the thing that what's his face? One of the science bros, the Hulk. I can't think of his name now. It's awful. He was saying that every Loki variant is a puny god.
Oh yeah. Gotcha. I found that to me that the series throughout, because, I mean, including the final episode, which this is not a spoiler, but to me that it seemed a lot like a D&D campaign.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, a lot of shows look like that, yeah.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian was so much of a Dungeons & Dragons campaign, or an RPG, like a computer RPG, because he's like, okay, there's a primary quest, and then he keeps going on these side quests.
Yeah.
To do stuff. And, like, you know, he runs into a villager who suddenly he's got to help or, you know, whatever. It was so much like an RPG. It was super, super funny. I guess we've hit our time, so we will stop with all the
yep.
you know, Loki theorizing and discussion. And for those of you coming back, welcome back. Yeah, Tracy was mentioning it was very much like Bush a Doctor Who episode. And she's not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not wrong.
I like that. But, okay, so where were we? Trailers.
Trailers.
I didn't watch the first two. Oh, because
man. Well, we watched them for you, and they sucked.
Thank you. To, I appreciate not you to be throwing myself
not to
on
be
that.
Opinionated, but oh my
the,
God.
The first two
awful.
Also suffer from the problem, like, can somebody turn a light on when they're making a movie? Can you guys do that?
It's not so much the light that it was. It was like they desaturated the colors. Yeah. So everything was blue.
Oh.
They like washed out all the colors. Yeah. So like the entire world was blue.
I couldn't and see I think like half the stuff they showed because it was so dark.
Both of these were like that. Yeah. The first two were just awful. And they were both, you know, sort of post-apocalyptic.
Yes.
Just, yeah. It looks like torture to watch these things. The first one that we watched, which comes out August 20th, is.
On demand.
Is called Risen. And it's, yeah.
It's the story of bread.
If only. If only it was. Because I would totally watch that. It would be so much. Watching bread rise would be preferable to this. But, you know,
helping
it's
helping the whole audience so that they know not to watch this crap.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where something lands on the planet and it begins to mess with everybody. It's like a kind of an evil version of Little Shop of Horrors. It's like less
people
fun.
People die but come back and they're different.
Right, there's a plant that seems to both kill you and resurrect you, and then you live in service to the plant.
Yeah.
And, you know, our doctor heroine has to figure everything out. There are no names in this that I recognize.
I got
to
tell you that, Dr. honestly, heroine? From the picture on the front of the trailer, when you go to click on it to watch the trailer, I knew I wasn't going to like this movie.
Sure.
So I'm not sure how valuable you're saying this movie is crap is to people. I think they could tell by the picture.
that's true. And look, make up your own minds, of course. We're just here to give you our opinions.
No, just don't watch it.
It just it completely looks not like fun.
We're going to save you a couple hours here, okay?
Right.
It's just, well, and a few dollars if you have to do pay-per-view.
Unfortunately, you can't tell with the colony. Just by just looking at the picture.
Right.
That is both theaters and at home digital on August 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one is a little more sci-fi than the last. The last one's a little more horror. And this
it was a space plant.
Yeah, so, but still, it's a little more horror. And so this one, we have apparently destroyed the Earth. The Earth sucks. These guys have gone somewhere else, and they come back to Earth because their colony in space has reached the point where they can't reproduce anymore, and they're not having new kids, and they're going to die out. And so they come back to Earth, and Earth is having its own problems, but they see a kid. And, you know, tragedy ensues as they get captured and beat up and tortured and dragged around the landscape,
like,
and everybody fights everybody. And
if you can tell what's going on, because it's so freaking dark.
It's very Mad Max. It's very dark. It's from Roland Emmerich, who has a hit.
Yeah, he's like the producer or something of it.
He's the executive producer.
Yeah.
And it's...
I feel like I met Roland Emmerich.
You met Dean Devlin.
Dean Devlin. Oh, okay. That's who I met.
You met Dean Devlin, who was nicer than Roland Emmerich.
Okay.
Anyway, it's one of those movies that takes place in a fog. Like, the whole movie is like in a fog. Everything's gray. Yeah,
I think the writers were in a fog.
Something. It's just like really... doesn't and if you look at the comments in YouTube, people are like, oh, I watched it as this other movie was exactly the same thing. But the people who say that they saw it already say that it wasn't terrible, but it was stilted acting.
It was still crap, but it wasn't terrible crap.
Yeah, So.
I love that review. It wasn't terrible. Okay, and a movie that truly is not going to be terrible is the newest Pixar Disney animated feature coming out in 2022 called Turning Red.
Yes.
And it looks adorable.
Nope, sorry. It is. It's super,
and apparently it's recess time.
It is recess time. So it's Pixar, and it's written and directed by Domi Shi, who got an Oscar for her short film called Bao. If you remember Bao.
Yes. Oh, little, I loved Bao.
Little cute little Bao and the mom and the whole thing. And so Domi Shi is Chinese-Canadian, and she took all of her experiences as a Chinese-Canadian kid and threw them at this movie. And so her main character is sort of autobiographical. Her parents were very, you know, helicopter tiger parents. Mm-hmm. And the whole trailer
it shows in this
completely
trailer.
Focuses on that. And and so the hook is that the little girl, when she gets anxious and stressed out, she hulks out, but instead of becoming a giant green scary thing, she becomes a gigantic fuzzy red panda.
Yeah,
and
it's like a super cute
like
one,
right?
Like a lesser panda, kind
right?
Of
so hilarity ensues, and and so Rosalie Chang gives voice to Mei Li, who's the 13-year-old girl, and Sandra Oh is the mom.
I didn't know a red panda was also called a red lesser panda.
The red one? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
And so so this has also caused a little bit of a flap on the internet where there has been a rash of films where lead characters of color have been turned into animals for the majority of the film.
Yeah.
And we saw similar things in the Princess and the Frog. Mm-hmm. From Disney, we saw recently in Soul, where he kind of ends up as a cat for most of the movie.
Spies in Disguise.
Right, and there's all sorts of things like that. So there's a little bit of trepidation about this. Based on the fact that Pixar put Domi Shi in charge of the film. She's their first Asian female director that they've ever had. And it's her story. She wrote it. She's behind it. She's putting her autobiographical experiences into it, despite the fantasy of turning into the red panda. I'm going to wait till it comes out. And I've been talking to some of the people that I know online who are Chinese and who are Asian, and saying, "Hey, how do you feel about this?" And they're like, "You know what? It looks cool. It looks like good representation. I'm not going to freak out about it yet." It really doesn't look like she spends the entire movie as a giant panda. It looks like she flips in and out of it from time to time. And, you know, it really does look like there's a family story that involves the Chinese characters. And so I'm kind of with them. Let's see what happens. Don't get freaked out about it yet, even though we know the stereotype of, you know, how come you took this cool person of color and made them into an animal for their movie?
I think that until they have a couple of people of color that are the leads as human beings through one of these movies.
Yeah.
That's going to continue.
I think we have. I think if you actually go through the list, you can find some that are.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But the problem, the problem is that.
Mulan. Okay.
Yeah, right. Mulan. There's one.
Yeah. Well, although they made the black guy the dragon, man. I don't know.
Oh, good grief.
But, no, seriously.
That's not true, though, because
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, but then you can go back to.
But are there any
others?
Example or is it just Mulan?
This, before that, Brother Bear was much like what the problem that they're speaking of, where it's.
Right, they made a, what, an Inuit kid
turned into bears.
Into
well,
a
wasn't
bear
everybody an animal in Brother Bear? I didn't see Brother Bear. I don't know.
There was a boy who became like a bear.
Yeah, he became a bear.
And,
and
you know, we've also seen in Brave the mom becomes a bear, and it's happened to a lot of different people of a lot of different
colors.
I think
it would be interesting to sort of look at a list of Disney and Pixar animated features and
there,
look at who
there is one. I saw one And
I'm sure there is.
Somebody made a list that like showed pictures of everything, and then they showed like which people turned into animals or other creatures and things like that.
Hmm.
I think the biggest problem is that the majority of characters are you know, Caucasian in animated films, and therefore the percentage of them turning into animals is far, far less.
Yeah.
But that said, at least we're getting to the point where we're making these movies with people of you know, other backgrounds. Yeah. And once they get over turning them into animals, which hopefully will be soon, we should get some good stories.
So, another one where it was someone that's not white as a main character and stayed that way through the entire movie, Pocahontas. It's another one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been a while character. Since they had them.
They do exist.
Because Mulan and Pocahontas were both from the same basic time period. Like, they came out at the same, around the same time.
Yeah, nearby.
Well, and you had Pacific Islanders in Moana and in Lilo and Stitch.
Because like, Moana herself never changed.
Right.
She was same way all the entire movie.
And neither did Lilo or Nani or any of the people in Lilo and Stitch.
Uh-huh.
They all stayed humans.
Yeah.
Well, but I'd be interested to see, like, numbers.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see.
Tiana was, she was unfortunately a frog throughout. That's what Tracy brings up. Tiana, she was a frog throughout most of the movie of Princess and the Frog.
And there was Hair Love, where the characters were, you know, all black and stayed that way.
That was a short, though. Yeah.
It was, but it was still animation. I found an article that gets really specific. There's not enough women of color in animation.
Yeah, well, Emperor's New Groove is the same thing. Cusco's a llama throughout the entire thing.
So
Pacha, however, is always Pacha.
Here's a list.
Pacha's the other main character.
As of November 29th of 2014, people of color in animation. So this is a really old list. Pocahontas, Esmeralda, Tiana, Little Creek, which was a DreamWorks movie, Shell from, what do you call it? El Dorado. Lucius, Frozone, Lilo from Lilo and Stitch, Aladdin, Mulan, Cuzco, except they turned him into a llama, didn't they?
No, yeah. Like I said, in that movie, you would go to the other star.
Yeah.
Pacha.
Right.
Who was not a llama.
And then they have Tiger Lily and Mowgli and the Prince of Egypt from DreamWorks.
Yeah. So there's
but this is like 15
years old.
Plenty of
animated films where people that aren't white stayed how they are through the entire thing.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's interesting is to talk to some of the people who are making these movies. Like if you look at Soul, Soul had a black co-director. It was a black writer. He worked really hard to get the black experience in the movie.
The writer wasn't brought in until after the basic story was together, though. So he didn't come up with that.
No, but he was able to direct it, and he was able to rewrite the film in a way that created a better black experience. Like all of all of the stuff that he did in the barbershop.
But it wasn't like he came up with the idea of you know, here's going to be the movie with the black character, and he's going to transform and spend most of the movie not as a black character.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's that too.
Right.
Interesting.
There you go.
But yeah, anyway. So I'm going to wait till this thing comes out. I mean, it's not the kind of offensive thing like Peter Pan and stuff, you know, where we got to deal with
yay,
that.
Yay, we're growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so
as people.
I'm looking forward to this one cuz I absolutely adored Bao. I thought it was terrific.
Mm, yeah.
Bao was really
And I really think
although the main character was food in that one.
Yeah.
It was not exactly food. If you watch the short,
yeah,
I watched the
represented
short.
As food.
But no. Anyway, it. I think that this will be really fun, and I'm really glad that they that basically it's the it's a project that's headed up by, you know, Chinese Canadians and Chinese Americans, and they're like, they get a chance to express their culture in the way that they want through Pixar, which is great. And like, big thumbs up to Pixar for running with the project and not, cause I mean, yeah, it's, you get kind of tired of, you know, the same old kind of characters that, you know, you see again and again and again and again. I like a variety of characters. I like a variety of backgrounds and cultures and all of that.
Let's move on.
Give me more of that. We sadly lost a few people this week. We lost Chick Venera, who was in Thank God It's Friday, and he was in The Golden Girls. He passed away at the age of 74.
Yeah.
Here in Burbank, California. He was always kind of a, like, you know, crazy out there, in-your-face sort of dude for a lot of his roles, Different Strokes and Night Court and things like that. And he had a couple roles in The Golden Girls as a boxer, and he was a reporter named Enrique in that. So sad for his passing. At the age of 88, we lost William Smith, who was an action star who fought Clint Eastwood, a whole bunch of other people. He was in Red Dawn, Any Which Way You Can. And he started in the 1940s with his acting career. He was in The Ghost of Frankenstein, Conan the Barbarian, Rich Man, Poor Man, a whole bunch of stuff like that. And so he did stuff with Richard Harris, Yul Brynner, Nick Nolte, and he was in Hawaii Five-O as a regular for the last season of Hawaii Five-O. So sad to hear that that he has gone. Aquaman artist Robson Rocha died from complications of COVID. He's been working in comics since 2010. And was exclusively with DC Comics for the past about 6 years or so. And he was sort of inspirational in the look that Aquaman has now that has made the transition to movies and sort of the way we understand him. Instead of the yellow top and the green tights. And Charlie Robinson passed away. He was in the TV series Buffalo Bill, and he was in Night Court.
Yep.
For just about the whole run of Night Court as Mac.
Yeah.
And the Dabney Coleman show for Buffalo Bill was the one that got him a boost. Because it got a whole bunch of Emmy nominations, and it kind of put him on the map. And then he was Mac Robinson in Night Court, and did most of the 9 seasons of Night Court. So sad to hear that he passed away as well.
Sad stuff.
Jeff?
Yep. So I have something. I'm going
to
use this as my,
to choose from here.
As my time. So... Someone got, they went to McDonald's today and they got the little Happy Meal.
Okay, you have to put it in front of you so we can see it.
Happy Meal.
Okay.
And they got me this thing. Still smells like fries.
Mmm, fries.
But, so I got Elmer Fudd.
Space Jam.
Space Jam stuff.
Like so Elmer Fudd.
Little basket. And the ball.
Nice.
Elmer Fudd is actually flat.
Okay.
Yeah. And it comes with the ball and a backboard and...
Oh, that's fun.
Stuff and the little hat for Elmer. It goes on his head here.
Yeah. Neat.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Nice.
Nice.
What do you got, Colleen?
Gosh.
What's your show and tell item?
I'm still eating jelly beans.
Jelly beans. Nice.
That's all I have left.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's what I talked about. Sean, what do you have?
I got a book in the mail today. Pretty interesting book. It is a Disney Parks exclusive, and it's a little bit of a replacement for a book that I tried to get through Target, which was about myths and fables of Black Spire Outpost and Star Wars. And the book that you could get at Target, and I think there was a bookstore exclusive as well, was a little bit hobbled in that it didn't have all of the stories that they wrote. There were like 9 stories that weren't included or something, which was crazy. So this book has all of the stories here. They tried to do it in universe, and so the whole book itself has a sort of Batuu writing, and it's in Orabesh with some kind of cool artwork on the front.
Ooh, they have an ampersand in Orabesh.
Yeah, I guess so. Interesting. And they, in part of making it look like it's in universe, they shredded the edges of the book, which is kind of cool. And the binding of it is laced up with ribbon, which I thought was kind of a neat touch. And so they've tried their best to make it a cool, archaic style of book. And then one of the things that the other book didn't seem to have is there's this really great artwork inside the book. There's various Ooh. Pages and things that are really super nice. And, you know, they've done some fun stuff in it. And fortunately, they don't make you read the whole thing in Orabesh. But anyway, I'm kind of excited to tuck into this and see. It was one that I really had wanted to do. And each story is kind of introduced in its own way, in Orabesh. This is the knight and the dragon. And it's...
Do they have any where the stories are entirely written in Orabesh and you have to be able to read Orabesh?
They don't. That would be your dream, wouldn't it?
Colleen loves... It would take a really long time to read,
Colleen loves deciphering Orabesh. Yeah. But, I mean, some of these look kind of crazy. I mean, this looks like a kid Darth Maul. And stuff. Huh. So I'll have to give a report once I've read some of this stuff. But I do. It's basically as universe, you know, accurate as they could make it, except for things like the, you know, obligatory PC code on the back.
Of course.
But yeah, so that came in the mail today, and it looks like a lot of fun. It's called Myths and Fables. You can get it either at the Disney parks if you can find it, because I couldn't find it when I looked. I tried for a long time. I ended up ordering it through the Disney store online. And it got here pretty quick. Oh, okay. Colleen's waiting for a t-shirt.
It was not the Disney store online. It was Shop Disney.
It was ShopDisney.com, yeah. Which is what the Disney store kind of has become. Most of the Disney stores are closing.
Yeah.
And if you want Disney merch, you kind of have to go there to get it.
Jeff, you got anything left?
You know, let's see here. There was an old interview, and I don't think this is really spoilery because this interview came out in May of 2020. And it was they talked to Clark Gregg while they were while the last season of S.H.I.E.L.D. was coming out on ABC, and he says something. And then, but this is what, through all the rumors, put people through a bunch of rumors, and he talks about, if I could get down to the darn section, it was basically talking about Tom Hiddleston and him going to work on Loki. And he really would have rather had, the huge budget and everything else that they're giving to these shows on Disney Plus for S.H.I.E.L.D. It would have been pretty good. But what he says is, I'd be lying if I didn't say, boy, that would be really interesting to start the experiment over doing 10 episodes or 12 episodes the way Tom Hiddleston told me he was doing on Loki with that kind of budget and that Marvel cinematic team. So this is what he said like 2 years, a year ago, 2020? Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year. So yeah. So it gives you credence that there would be a second season coming.
It is interesting that he calls it the experiment. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because something that goes on for like five seasons has gone beyond an experiment.
Yes.
Mm. I want to talk about the Loki variant pops.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they're so cute. They've got the alligator Loki with his little horns and what looks like a little bow around his neck. I guess that's holding his horns on. And they've got old school Loki, although he's not wearing his reading glasses.
Yeah.
You can add those.
And they've got kid Loki with a tiny little alligator.
Yeah.
Nice.
And his sword.
Yeah.
And they've got the Loki for president beat up Loki. Which, meh.
Yeah, less interesting.
Yes. Right. I like all of the other three a lot. They're super cute.
That's really cool. Well, and oh my gosh, I mean, they could just release those things forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the alligator Loki is pretty darn adorable.
Yes. Sean, do you have one last thing?
So we talked about this maybe a month or so ago with a little bit of trepidation. Rob Zombie is taking on the Munsters.
Yeah.
We know that he does particularly disgusting horror movies. He is, of course, a musician. He's walked several walks of life. But he's giving us little updates as he gets closer to production. And so he shared some costume drawings that showed what Herman and his wife might wear to...
Lily
might wear to bed to sleep in. Yeah. And most interestingly, he shared blueprints of 1313 Mockingbird Lane, the Munster's house.
Yeah.
And with it, he says that the blueprints are done, time to start the construction, get ready for the most perfect Munster's house since 1964. I want this thing exact.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, that's a relief a bit, that hopefully he's not going to go too far off the rails with it.
Yeah.
And secondly, the Munster house still exists. So I find it interesting that he's rebuilding another one somewhere. Yeah. It makes me wonder what the story is going to entail, because you can go to, visit the original, Munster's house. It's still there on the back lot. So, but anyway, I'm slightly relieved that, it looks like things will be, more relaxed. Interestingly, Cassandra Peterson is involved. Jorge Garcia is in it too.
I haven't heard from him in
from
a while.
Lost, I know, right?
Yeah.
So it should be really cool. And then Butch Patrick is acting as a consultant, who was Eddie.
Yeah.
Before we...
And like Jeff Daniel Phillips may be the one playing Herman, and he actually kind of looks the part.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, sorry, Colleen.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to say what movies are coming out this week before we wrap the show. And the only one that's like on our radar is Gunpowder Milkshake, which is on Netflix and is coming out yesterday.
Yeah.
So you can watch Gunpowder Milkshake, and we reviewed that a couple weeks ago. It's a like these women are secret assassins movie.
Yeah.
And it has Amy.
Karen Gillan is in it.
Yes.
Lena Headey and Carla Gugino is in it. And, and honestly, that's enough to get me to watch it right there. I'm in.
Yep.
So, yeah, it could be fun.
For the last one.
Michelle Yeoh is also in it.
Yeah.
There's the cast is like really good. Paul Giamatti. So, it could be really fun.
Yeah.
And Angela Bassett. She's in everything.
Yes.
Sean, you want to wrap us up here?
Yes, indeedy. If you are listening to us over at sci-fi.radio, thank you very much for doing so. You might also be seeing us on Facebook or on YouTube or on Twitch. And we're also very grateful for that, too. Big thanks to Rosella for subscribing.
Our first sub!
Pretty nice. Broke down that barrier for us. We appreciate it. Big thanks to Kit Boba Kit Sovine for doing all of our links, and to all of you for hanging out in the chat and giving your point of view to offset our own. It's the show isn't just about us. It's we like to know what you guys think too, and because we don't have all the answers.
We just think we do.
Have a terrific week. Next week is going to be really interesting. It's Colleen and my 31st anniversary.
Oh, dear.
On Thursday. Yeah. We are both working. The show might be late. We'll have to see how things shake out. But I think we will be on the air for our anniversary because we have nothing else planned.
Oh, but also, if you're planning to listen to Sean